4DJC.
4DJC, this is KO4ZEW, Ben in Simpsonville.
Didn't catch off because I had my radio turned down a little too low, I think.
Testing out a new radio myself, so hope it sounds better now.
Hey, that's fine then.
EAC 7100, it's an old unit. I'm gonna put it in the truck and take out the Kenwood D700, and then I'm gonna put the D700 on the bench and figure out APRS. That's something I can't sit there and play around with and investigate while I'm driving. So I figured I'd swap in something easy to use on the road, and then have that more advanced unit down here just to study on.
A little hum on coming in through the lead transmission. I'm not sure what it is. I can't tell if it's noise there where you are or what. Doesn't sound like AC or anything like that, though.
The power back. I don't hear any hum on this end when I did before. Is that better?
Yeah, a tiny bit, but not much. You must, are you mobile down?
On a bench.
RF coming in. I'm not sure how far away your antenna might be, but it sounds like that might be where it is, or it could be a AC line crossing the coax. Sometimes that does it. I'm only running 5 watts here. I'm in Anderson. I know my other radios, when I run about 50 watts, so I'm not real cautious where my coax laid and that sort of thing. Sometimes I'll get a little feedback from that.
Actually, I did have just that, so did that clear it up?
Yeah, just a tiny bit. There was nothing objectionable at all. The audio is really good. Yeah, I think you like working into 700 from inside there. They just, after a long hiatus, the ISS just got their APRS digipeater up and running again. This time it's on the service module, which is on the Russian side. And normally they would run one, turn it off, run a crossband repeater, for a month or so, turn it off and turn back to APRS digipeater. Now they're running both of them at the same time, so that ought to work out real good, because they got a real good, they've run about 15 watts down, so it's real easy to hear it and decode it and send your APRS packets through the digipeater on the space station.
Really cool. I check the MSAT page every now and then, and they seem kind of sporadic with their updates.
The one you need to check is the ARISS.org website. That one you can pull up. It should have a button up there you can click, and it gives the current status of the space station. It tells you what mode they're operating in and when they're going to turn it on and off. They usually turn off both modules whenever they have a shipment coming in, or docking, undocking, or any work outside the ISS. But I guess you can hear it on, for that matter, you can hear it on a rubber ducky on a scanner, for that matter. It's that strong. And since it's not, it's 145.825 up and down, I don't think there's a tone on it. But since it's just a simplex deal, you can get by with a vertical or fairly, simple antenna and get in and out fairly easily. You just got to have your path, APRS path set correctly and that sort of thing. Get the baud rate set and get your messages set up so you can just click on the message you want to send and, contact another ham through the repeater. Now, that does not, the APRS section of it, that's just, a repeater. On the other side, the voice side, now, it's a repeater as well, but sometimes, last month or so, the astronauts have been getting on there and talking through the repeater, which is usually, it was just two up and two down, and this way it's 2 meters up and 440 down. But last few times, a lot of guys have been able to get into it and catch with astronauts, and their call signs are NA1 think it's NA1 ISS or something like that. I can't remember what it is, but you'll hear them on it. They'll identify with their call sign, too. But you can hear them fairly easily, too, on the 440 downlink. But with the APRS up and down, you don't have to worry too much about Doppler. You know, it's got, like I said, they run a lot of power in the APRS side of it, so you just got to have a radio set up to send and decode APRS.
Really cool. There's several places on the web I can find where you can you track the predictive orbit, and then so you can figure out what time it's going to be overhead. And apparently it's like horizon to horizon, you get about 10 minutes of line of sight. So I guess there's some timing involved with it as well.
I recommend for new people starting, getting interested in is there's a iPhone, I also have an Android too, an app called ISS Detector. It's free, and it does all the ISS digital when it's coming over. You can set it for whatever degree pass you're looking at. I usually set mine for about 20 degrees. Anything below 20 degrees where I am, I can't really get because I don't have horizon coverage. And I set up a little higher, 20, 25 degrees usually. And it'll give you predictions, and it also you can set up so it notifies you like an hour before the pass is going overhead and that sort of thing. You can put, in-app purchase for about $1. That'll give you access to all the satellites, amateur and otherwise, and you can set all those up and, set up the passes and notify you when they're overhead and that sort of thing. And it gives you the frequencies and a lot of other information. It's really very handy. And also, it tells you where it's going. Also, if you can actually track it with your phone, it'll show where it is, and it'll give you the elevation that it's going through. You can actually just turn your phone up to whatever elevation it is. It's got a dot on the side that follows it. That gives you an idea where, if you're holding, like I think we're using a portable beam antenna, I can know where to point my antenna. I don't have a rotor or anything like that rotor or anything like that, so I just put mine on a tripod. It's got a pretty wide beam width. You don't have to worry about being precise with it.
That's if the app has the notifier on it. Especially if you can set the time to set, whether it gives a pop-up message or, some kind of pop-up lets you know 30 minutes or 1 hour or whatnot as to when it's going to be within, I suppose, basically line of sight, like you said. I don't have a beam or anything like that. I'd love to eventually get like an arrow and get out into some real satellite tracking, but that's going to be a little more down the road.
I use an arrow most of the time just because it's a little easy. I've got an elk and an arrow, and the arrow works. Well, arrow is a little bit better, I think, because it does a little bit better on the 440 side. The elk is good, but they're about the same weight. For some reason, the arrow feels a little lighter. I'm not sure why, but because the elk uses PVC tubing as part of the antenna belt. The other one's just aluminum, and the arrow, it feels a little lighter to me. And also, the arrow already has holes drilled and tapped in the boom, so you can mount it to a camera tripod. And then you just put it on there. I usually set mine just at about 25 degrees elevation and just had it where I can swivel it, kind of in the direction the satellite's headed. You don't have to be very precise with it. But then if you have it in the camera tripod setup, with the way the tripod's set up, you can just kind of flip the air antenna one way or the other, kind of change the polarization a little bit, but then ISS doesn't tumble, so you don't have to worry too much about that. Unless when it starts going away from you, you may have to flip it up to vertical. I usually run mine mostly horizontal as far as the elements. But I've enjoyed it. I haven't been getting out lately. It's been so damn hot. It's just too hot for me to get outside much and play with it. But it's a lot of fun. The voice side of it is really busy. The APRS side will be busy for a while, but it's generally a lot easier to get in. You don't have to worry about the Doppler shift and crossband and all that sort of thing. It's a lot simpler, especially if you got a good APRS radio like the 700. I ran a 710 and a 74 Kenwood for a while, But, I mean, they basically shut the APRS. APRS has been shut off since sometime in January, so I got kind of disenchanted with it. I didn't need to keep those radios, but I've got an ICOM 705 now I use, but it does not have APRS. But, again, you know, APRS hasn't been on. The other satellites that had APRS have all decayed from orbit now, so it's really basically only the ISS is the only viable APRS as far as, you know, satellite or, you know, anything like that.
I've got a telescope tripod to probably work out for that. And I was up in Waynesville for the Ham Fest, and I had one of these. I had a used, arrow antenna. It was already assembled and everything, pistol grip on it and stuff. And I was like, well, I don't know. And then I walked away, and about 20 minutes later, I was like, man, I need to go ahead and grab that. And I went over there, and it was gone. So, but yeah, that. I think the D710s are what are actually run on the ISS, if that information is recent.
That's what they've been running. They ran a 700, I think, for a while. They're running 710s now. And they just recently sent three more up, I think, last year. I'm not sure, 100% sure. I'm an AMSAT member, but I don't pay much attention to what's going on with the other satellites. But they sent either one or two up, and like I said, Russian service module has always had one on that side, I think. But they got another one, and they've got it operating. So you've got the APRS side and the APRS mode and the voice repeater running concurrently now, which is, you know, they have not done that in the past. The only time they've done that, I think, is when the Russian, you know, service module side, which is the Russian side, has done the slow scan TV downloads on the 145.825, which is, you know, you just, all you got to have for that is just a radio where you can record it or play it over a speaker and use an iPhone app called Black Cat, and it'll decode the signal just by the audio. And I've got several of those, and they usually do those about once a year where you'll have those. That signal is like 25 watts. It is really strong. You can hear that on a handheld with a rubber duck.
People on YouTube who have done some of that slow scan TV downloading, and it'll kind of pull it in line by line on the monitor as it pulls in the graphic. Kind of like it was, you know, the old days of just the computer modems where the text would come in at, you know, 2400 baud and just scroll. But that's interesting that you can just decode it from an analog signal. But, I mean, I guess it all is ultimately analog.
You see, Friday, I didn't catch your name, but is this Ben?
This is Ben, KO4ZEW, down in Simpsonville.
Okay, I didn't recognize your voice, Ben. You must be worn out from dropping the kids off at school today, first day of school for my grandkids too. APRS is not it's not actually a digital mode. It's analog. It just uses it's just a different format, different mode. But it's not a digital mode like D-Star or DMR or some of the other modes are. So it's real similar, but the slow scan TV is just an app, and like I said, you can decode if you can hear it, no matter what you were using it on for that or anything else. It's got multiple. I'm not familiar enough with slow scan to remember what it is. It's got multiple, you know, things, you know, PD120, and it's got a bunch of different ones that you can use to set up to whatever format they send it in. And you can just set up the phone for that, and as soon as it hears it, it'll start decoding it immediately, and you can save that, and it'll decode it again. Usually, they send, when the service module is sending slow scan TV, they usually send it one time, and they'll send it again halfway through the pass. But if you know when the pass is coming, you just got to be ready for it and have your phone sitting up there and have a 2-meter rig with a decent antenna, and you'll more than likely you're here well enough to hear one complete transmission of the picture.
I am on the a different radio, so I may sound that might be explaining why I sound different. I'm testing this one out to swap it in the truck just to make sure. I'll plug it up in there and get everything hooked up, and then it's not working for some reason. But I think I have it at this point. I'm usually on my TYT, which is brand new, and this is AC7100M. I picked up a Hamfest. Mainly because it had a detachable head, and I was just looking for something basic for the vehicle. So I do want to start learning the APRS stuff. I've got that. I'm a Kenwood now, and it just, I mean, it just hits me with all this information, and I'm like, man, I just can't, you know, process it or go through it when I'm driving. So I'm just going to swap the two out and see what APRS is all about.
Here in the area, the youth is not as popular as it once was, but mainly because they're just not, you know, there's only a handful of rigs that it does. Some of the Chinese radios will do it with DMR, but it's kind of, there's a trick to getting it to do it that way. And see, none of the ICOM rigs do APRS. They have a DPRS if they use this, works with their D-Star, where it, you know, positions your, you can send it in GPS position, and you can track it, you know, you can upload it to Google Earth and track it that way. And the DPRS also is used in D-Star to, that way you can see the location of whoever you're talking to on D-Star.
DPRS is kind of old, but it still seems to be plenty of data. When I go to APRS.fi, I mean, I'm still seeing a lot of active pings that are both fixed stations as well as mobile. With all the different digital modes, you know, D-Star and Fusion, Wires X, it's kind of hard to keep up with the digital stuff and what. And even if anything's going to emerge as a true standard, or, you know, if it's going to be just a wide range of digital modes, from here on out, and more and more as they get developed.
DMR is the most popular just because the radios are fairly inexpensive. They're, you know, the only radios that have D-Star, you know, incorporated in with ICOM digital radios, and the Kenwood TH-74D, it has D-Star with it, you know, as a mode. It uses two. It's probably the most versatile radio out there by hand. It does D-Star, APRS, and the shortwave has a whole sheet mesh in it. But they're just so few D-Star radios. That is, of course, it's a little different than that because people can, with these open spot threes, open spot fours, I think, they can go, or maybe even through, they can go DMR to D-Star. And the DMR is probably a little more active, but it's always been a little more difficult to get the initial setup on the radio, from what I understand. I don't have any experience with it, but D-Star is just dead simple. There's nothing to do with it. They got everything loaded in automatically. You got the list of over repeaters, and you set up your hotspot, and you just dial in whatever reflector you want to connect to, and that's it. To me, it's a lot simpler anyway. Fusion, you know, requires either a hotspot, but it's hard to change rooms, and you have to use something with wires, which requires a PC in order to do that. So it's a little, if you don't have a repeater close by, it's really more complex. At least, as I said, at least to me, it's more complex. Requires more equipment, but. Because by the time you buy the stuff to do it with, then you got to have a PC with D-Star. All you got to have is the radio and a hotspot. You don't need a PC for anything, and you can do everything from the radio. Instead of, you don't have to use it. You can change reflectors from the radio and, you know, send calls out to certain people and that sort of thing. It's just, I don't think it has quite as many users, but it's pretty popular. And it's like DMR thing. You can get, it's worldwide. You have all kinds of guys on the reflectors, you know, Korea, Japan, you know, all over the world on there, Australia, New Zealand. So it's interesting, but it's not everybody's cup of tea, because a lot of it requires a hotspot, and, you know, RF to hotspot. A lot of people just don't consider it radio, but it's just enough fuel in the bag.
So many of them now that, like you said, you have to acquire hotspots. And I mean, I look at repeater book and see it looks like there's very few Wirezags and Fusion and D-Star repeaters. I suppose that's because everybody runs their own hotspot, so the major repeaters just don't run the software very often.
In order to hit some of these reflectors, the repeater has to be connected to the internet in order, you know, just other than just being local, it's just local analog just as good. So it has to be able to be connected to the internet. People don't want to do that. There is the closest D-Star repeater to me is one over here on Kite Hill in Clemson, but it's only about 12 miles away, but I can't hit it with 40 watts, so I'm just too low, my elevation is just too low to do it. And there are other here and there, but none of them are very active. Most people use hotspots, and a lot of them in Florida. When I traveled down to Florida, there was just one. There was a D-Star repeater just about everywhere down there. And there are quite a few in the Atlanta area, too. But it seems to be more towards urban areas. And the D-Star repeaters are not that expensive, but it's all the other stuff that goes along with it. Being able to connect to the internet, that sort of thing. That's where the rub comes in with those.
I bet it's a lot of the hurricanes prone areas. Cause I work down in Florence a couple days a month, and they have Powell's net, which they have tied like 8 different repeaters in the PD region together, and then they'll do a net at 9:30 at night. That was really interesting. I think they're full time connected, but I'm not 100% sure. So I'm starting to toy around with EchoLink to see if I can get EchoLink down there to Florence and then get tied in with some of what's going on down there. But they'll activate that PALS net, and it's like a regional linkage. It's PALS net.
I gotta get out of here, man. I gotta go pick my wife up at the grocery store. But they have a warning system here. And I'm not sure, the 9-7 repeater here in Anderson is down here at AMMED Hospital. It's a link repeater. They link up throughout the state. And they have, usually they'll have the net on, two or three times a week, Skywarn nets. And the 145-470 repeater, it's a similar type deal where they can link up to, I think. It's K9OH and Billy the Hammond area that's his repeater. Now, it may be linked, maybe I'm linking up to it. There are several of them in the area. The one here in Anderson, they're linked to the 29 over near Pickens, and they've got multiple links, and that's an interesting thing. But those multiple repeaters, they just sometimes it's so difficult to hear people because the links are not. Sometimes the links are not very solid. They can barely hear some guys, and other guys just come booming in. But I got to jump out here, Ben. Good talking to you, and hope the kids have a good day at school today. And, keep plugging in. Digging at APRS, that's a lot of fun, and it's another rabbit hole. Once you got the equipment, it's just learning how to use it and that sort of thing. But it's a lot of fun once you get involved in it. There's a lot of guys that are just getting accustomed, just getting into that radio, or just getting kind of a renewed interest in it. I think that's really good. Have a great afternoon, Ben. Talk to you later. 73 N4DJC clear.
Terry, thanks again. Have a safe trip going to the grocery store. And I'll say 73s and KO4ZEW. I'll be clear, too.